A new state audit revealed that Central Connecticut State University, that's CCSU, not to be confused with CSCU. I know, it's a lot of acronyms. But Central Connecticut State University in New Britain could not provide deposit receipts for $70,000 in funds collected outside the formal business office process. And this audit looked at the years 2022 and 23. Joining us now to talk more about this, John Garagosian and Craig Miner, our Connecticut auditors. Gentlemen, welcome back to the show. How are you?
Not bad, thank you.
Nice to be back.
Always great to have you guys here. And I really do appreciate that you come on, because I know that audit reports certainly garner a lot of attention in the news. But again, I always say, don't shoot the messenger. You guys are just doing the footwork. And then what comes out of it is sort of out of your hands. But talk about what prompted this audit.
Well, this is one of the regular audits that we do of every state agency approximately every 2 years. And, you know, it's mostly a compliance audit. And I think the main through line on this report is that several of the controls are not where they're supposed to be.
So the audit, I know, faulted the university for several things following this report. Tell us what were some key takeaways.
Well, one of the issues was the one that you're pointing out, which was the failure on their part to be able to demonstrate that they had proper documentation for deposits. The law says anything over $500 is supposed to be deposited within 24 hours. There were two very large transactions that occurred as part of that $70,000, which were actually probably electronic transfers having to do with NCAA tournaments. So I think it was about $45,000 of the $70,000, and the rest were relatively small. And as you might imagine, trying to track down students to find out whether they have all their receipts and everything to turn them in isn't always that easy. So we're hoping that they're going to shore that up. But there are a couple of others, as John said. One was that they didn't foreclose people's ability to access the computer system with regard to personnel information at the time they were separated from service, whether by retirement or discharge. So those are just two of a number that are in this audit.
The audit also, it said, faulted, as you mentioned, Craig, outside of just the providing deposit receipts, or rather lack of doing that, kind of the internal systems. So there were two things in here that I think I hear way too often in the news, and maybe that's because audits are happening, it feels like, more and more, or maybe it's more of FOI requests, not so much audits, because you guys are kind of scheduled doing your audits on a either yearly, bi-yearly, whatever it is, basis. But not providing proper deposit receipts and not removing employees after they have left the jobs from internal systems. Do you find that those two things are highlighted in audits often? Because it feels like they are.
Yeah, it's something we come across, I think too much, especially the not taking people's access to computers and badges. That's an issue, especially if you have a disgruntled employee that may do some damage. It's something we're concerned about. In the modern age, that should happen rather quickly.
I know in the Central Connecticut State University case, the chief budget officer for the university says that they addressed the concerns of the auditors pretty quickly, found the findings very serious, and they're committed to strengthening. I don't mean to sound rude, I guess is the nicest way to put it, but these seem like very elementary things that just kind of don't happen correctly. You know, providing deposit receipts, that just seems like a no-brainer. And for some reason, that just doesn't happen. Or removing an employee from the system, you know, I can understand, you know, maybe forgetting that they have a key card. I get that, you know, especially if it's you know, you have layoffs and you're already telling people to get out and it kind of happened abruptly or something, not getting their key card, fine. But how are we still living in an era, 2026, where we don't have proper systems in place to have receipts or prove that spending is being done properly or that it actually matches whatever the line item says, right? I mean, it just seems elementary to me. I don't know what your what your thoughts are.
So one of the things that we don't really know is what kind of turnover some of these agencies have in what we would call the back office area, right? It's different than having a state trooper on the road. You would know pretty quickly when you have turnover there. But the people that process payroll, process intake, process payments, process receipts, those folks that are in a back office have the ability to transfer to other agencies. Some of them find that it's just not a good fit after they've applied for a job. So we don't really know how often these jobs turn over. And as you say, you'd almost think that it would be pretty perfunctory at this point. But if you've got turnover, nothing's normal. And so all we can do is point out what we would call the shortcomings of their policies, their statutes. And if you can't meet those deadlines and you can't meet the requirements, it's our job to point them out, and then their job to fix them. And I do think as you look through most of the audits, I'm not sure what the percentage is. I take a stab that it's somewhere around 90% concurrent. So it's not an argument on the part of the agencies whether or not what we're pointing out is being accurate. What we're not sure about is how quickly and how far they want to go to resolve the issues.
We are talking to Craig Miner and John Garagosin, who are state auditors. And a recent state audit revealed that Central Connecticut State University couldn't provide deposit receipts for $70,000 in funds collected outside the formal business office process. The audit also faulted the university for not immediately severing access to internal systems after employees left their jobs, for entering into contracts outside the usual university procurement system, and for employees who didn't not properly record holiday time. That's another thing I feel like we get a lot is the overtime or holiday pay. Gentlemen, I wanted to first clarify kind of the risk level here. So when these audits come out, immediately people think fraud, 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 right? But I want to bring down the temperature for a second. Does this audit actually suggest that money was misuse or is missing, or just that the documentation was not properly vetted?
Well, I mean, the first thing I mentioned was a lack of adequate controls. Mm-hmm. And that could create the atmosphere for fraud. We did not identify any fraud. One of the findings that I think is very important is related to the compensating controls. We never want to see the same employee being able to process a transaction on both ends or hire an employee and pay them, because that is a atmosphere that is ripe for fraud.
What exactly does that mean, though, when it says they were collecting funds outside the formal business office process?
I mean, I don't know exactly. I think it's more of an issue that they, you know, it's best to have things contained, because if you're doing things in two different places, you're more apt to make mistakes and not account for things properly.
So if you think about all the things that might go on in a college or university, it probably includes student activities. And in this case, that was a portion of those dollars. And so if you imagine someone doing a dance-a-thon and they do a collection at the door and then someone brings the receipts in, depending on when that happened, on a weekend, for instance, it's very difficult to hit the 24-hour period if the bursar's office is closed. And so, again, we have no choice but to acknowledge that they didn't meet the deadline. They have a choice to seek an exemption. They can seek waivers. Every agency has the ability to opine to the legislature and get the statute changed. So those things are probably more commonplace than one would think in a college or university system. It doesn't necessarily mean it's fraud. And as John said, when the atmosphere is ripe for problems, that's when fraudsters seek an opportunity. But in this case, that's not what we found, thankfully. And what we did find was that they need to kind of clean up their act in terms of the process.
And again, we've got Craig and John here, who are our state auditors here in Connecticut. Did you find that this was, was this in line with prior audits for Central Connecticut State, or was this sort of unusual, this finding?
Which finding were you referring to?
The receipts. I mean, I don't know why I think that's really the thing that people worry about is the money, whether it's from student tuition or it's from taxpayer dollars. I think that's always the concern for people. I mean, I do understand the internal controls, you know, maybe a failure of removing people as employees if they've left the job, or, you know, holiday time. And I'm not discrediting that. I think that's a huge part of this. But I think it's the 70,000 that people are super focused on. And they think if 70,000 wasn't recorded properly, then what else, you know, could we have missed? So that's, I think, what I was focusing on.
Well, I think, as Craig said, of the 70,000, about 45,000 was in game guarantees from other colleges for, like, basketball games. So that could be traced. This is the first time we've had this finding here for a while, I'm guessing. But it is an issue at state universities. You have students running clubs and little organizations, and the treasurer is not the same from year to year. And they may be having a bake sale or a plant sale. And they don't necessarily account for things the way we would want. And it's happening in a decentralized way, so it's hard to kind of control. It's not big money, but obviously, you know.
Everything adds up.
And we measure against their own rules. We measure against state policy. So there's a state law that says you have to deposit. If you have more than $500, you have to deposit it within 24 hours. That's the law. So if it's a smaller amount, you wait till you accumulate $500 and then deposit it. But it is a difficult environment. I'm not going to say it isn't. Related to this audit, we had only one repeat finding from the last. We had five findings from the last audit. They'd dealt with four of them. But now we have, I think, seven new ones, or six new ones.
And do you feel like, I think I'm talking to John now, do you feel like that's because you brought up something really interesting, which is that you're right. If it's clubs, for example, you're dealing with students, not to say that they are not able to, you know, follow laws or to be able to handle money properly. But first of all, it's not consistent because students graduate, they move on, they either go into different rankings or whatever. They may not stay in a club. Is that a big reason for why you would see, you know, something like this, not proper documentation related to finances?
So the sampling that we did in this finding was about 75,000, 76,996. I was able to locate it yesterday and find out exactly. But it was part of a larger number, which is 3.4 million and 5.1 million. And so what I've learned is you can't necessarily extrapolate the smaller model to the larger number, but as you point out, these kinds of problems could lead to larger issues. There could be something else within the 3 million that went unnoticed. I mean, I kind of look at it this way. If you had everybody in the neighborhood collect $5 and you left it on your kitchen counter and you had repair people there, and then, you know, when you got done, you were short money on the counter, it's a problem. And so I think that's why rules are in place to try and get the money in a secure location like a bank. What I pointed out earlier was that if they do a fundraiser on a weekend, I don't know what the mechanism is for them to get money to a bursar's office or somewhere else for a deposit. Clearly, they could seek an exemption or they could try and modify their processes. But it's $3 million. Not 76,000 is the total arena that this issue is in. So it is problematic in terms of if they don't fix it, it could be a bigger issue.
I mean, on a scale of audit severity, if I could call it that, how serious would you say the finding was for this audit?
I think some of these agencies handle far more money in and out If I recall back over the last couple of years, I mean, they're in the hundreds of millions in some cases in terms of contracts let, revenues collected or not collected. And so given what this is, this kind of animal, you know, kids all over the place, all sorts of opportunities to do good things on behalf of someone or some organization, it's probably smaller than many other places that we look at. But it's still notable, as you point out, that it's a common area of concern.
Right, exactly. And I think perspective on that matters. And I also think having, you know, accuracy matters, which is why I always appreciate that you guys give us the time on this show. John Garagosian and Craig Miner, our state auditors, thank you so much for the very latest on this. And I'm sure we'll talk again really soon, maybe when the next audit has some, you know, has something revealed to our listeners that they are not happy about. So I'm sure you'll be back on sooner rather than later.